Coming up next, The Truth Will Set You Free, sponsored by the Biblical Research Association with ambassador and recruiter for the Kingdom of God, Lemmy B. McGarrity.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of The Truth Will Set You Free, the radio program where we teach the truth of what the scriptures actually say about the true Christian way. My name is Lemmy McGarrity, and I'll be your host for the next few minutes, and we're going to continue to discuss some vital information that we've been going over the last 2 weeks here. I started a series on the deception of Satan, and we asked the question. Deception of Satan is recorded back there in Revelation 12 and verse 9, where it talks about how Satan, the devil, has deceived the whole world. We asked the question, does that include the Christian community of today? And we prove from Scripture that it does. We looked into a report from the Gordon Cornwell Theological Seminary there in Boston, Massachusetts. And that report revealed some startling information. It reported that there were more than 45,000 different denominations of the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know what that means to me? That there are 44,999 denominations of these people who are out there teaching Jesus Christ are in error. And now, all of them preach Christ and His saving grace. And many of them travel around the world to preach the gospel. They're genuine and sincere people believing what they teach. The Apostle Paul described what was happening in his day and gave us prophecies concerning the people of God in our day. God's people would be lovers of selves and rather than lovers of God and would turn away to fables. Look what that scripture, we read the scripture last week, 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 through 6. We'll read it again now just to refresh your memory so you can get back on page with where we're going here. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myth. To fables. And we're going to be talking about these fables in future programs, but today we're going to continue to look at the deception of Satan and how it has infiltrated the Christian community today. We saw a scripture back there in Revelation where John was given this revelation. He was projected out into the time of the day of the Lord, and he was given a message to relate to his people in our day, and he used seven churches to do that. Now, let's take a look at these seven churches. Now, these seven churches represented the attitude and the condition of God's people today. And we look there, we see five of those seven churches, 71% of them, Christians, genuine Christians, who are caught up in a system devised by the prince of the power of the air, Satan the devil, called Babylon, a state of confusion and chaos. Christ is calling his people out of Babylon, like we read there in Revelation 18:4, and he's calling them to repent. And we looked at these seven churches. We looked at these messages to these five churches Jesus Christ had told to repent. And we're going to go back and rehearse it just to familiarize you with, in case you wasn't with us last week, we're going to go back and just go over these again. You know, at the Church of Ephesus. Now, we're talking about Revelation chapter 2, and we're starting right there with the Church of Ephesus. And the Church of Ephesus had lost its first love and let down and was told to repent and to wake up and do the work that it did at first. And there was sawdust. It had a name that was alive, but the people were dead. And they were told to work up. And Laodicea was lukewarm, thought they had it all together, but they didn't know they were blind, poor, miserable, and naked. And two of these churches, Pergamos and Thyatira, they were holding to some strange doctrine. And Jesus Christ had a lot to say about them. And he told them that they would be thrown into sick beds. And he would kill their children if they didn't repent. And what were they doing so horrible that these other three churches were not doing, that their children were not going to be killed like these? And look at what they were doing. And they were holding to the teaching of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. And they were holding to, they were even tolerating this woman, Jezebel. Well, who are they? Who is Balaam and who is Jezebel? Well, if you go back to Numbers, number 22 and verses 6 through 1, you read about Balaam. And he was a prophet of God, and he was hired by the king of Moab, Balak, to curse the nation of Israel because he had seen how Israel had destroyed all the nations that had come before them, and he didn't want to be destroyed, so he hired Balaam to go and try and curse Israel, to throw a stumbling block in their way to seduce them, you see. But Balaam returned to his place. You read about it in Numbers 24, 25, and he gave Balak counsel. And you can read that counsel there in Numbers 31, 16. This counsel that he gave Balak caused the wrath of God to come down on Israel. He counseled Balak to let the daughters of Moab commit whoredom with the Jews and to get them to eat things sacrificed to idols. You see, read about it there in Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3. And the Nicolaitans, you see, the Nicolaitans, these people right here, they were harsh people. They were hard rulers or teachers or bosses. Look at what it says. The teaching of the Nicolaitans as denoting the error of those practices which asserting authority over the people and an unnatural distinction between clergy and laity, and which continued to be a distortion of biblical teaching to our time, through our own time. It had happened today, sisters and brothers, where ministers are lording it over their congregations and leading them, according to the scripture, astray from Jesus Christ and the Father, the simplicity that is in Christ. Look at what they're saying. The teachings of Balaam refers to seduction of the people. And let me give you an example of this right here. Go to 3 John and verses 9 through 11. We're going to read about one of these people who had the mindset of the Nicolaitans. And this is what John is writing to one of the churches here. He's writing this church. He says, I wrote something to the church. But Diotrephes, now Diotrephes was the leader of this congregation that he's writing to, who had who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Now Diotrephes is taking it upon himself to reject the teachings of John. John is one of the oldest apostles living at the time, might have been the only one. But Diotrephes, for this reason, he says, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren. And he forbid those who desire to do so and put them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. And see, and that's what the deal was there. These people had been seduced by false teachers and prophets and to turn away from the truth and to turn to these fables and worship idols and eat things sacrificed to idols and to whoredom. You see, that's what these teachers were about, the Nicolaitans and Balaam, who was there in Moab, seduced the king of Moab, brother Balak. And then we had Balaam, who and Jezebel. Now this woman right here, now she was a trip. Jezebel married the king of Judah, Ahab, And she seduced him to lead the people into idolatry. You can read about her back there in 1 Kings 16:31, and you can read about her there in chapter 21:25. This is 1 Kings. And you can go, read about her fate that at the hands of Jehu, who Elijah prophesied would take her out. And that's, you read about it there in 1 Kings 21:23, and you can go to 2 Kings and 9, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, and check out this woman Jezebel and how she seduced the people of Judah to turn aside from God and to start worshiping idols and to whore them. And so that's what the problem was with those two. And that's why Jesus Christ had the most to say to those two churches. But there were two churches, though. There were two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia. They represented 29% of the people who are going to be holding on to the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus at the end of the age, just prior to him coming to establish the government of God and the kingdom of God on this earth. And read what he says here about this church at Smyrna, starting right here in verses 8 of chapter 2 of Revelations. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last who was dead and has come to life, says this. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one that's sending this message to this church of Smyrna, this congregation there. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And that blaspheme, but you are rich. And the blaspheme by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's awesome. Words can't even express what this, the crown of life. This is the eternal life. If they would just turn around and repent, you see. Well, they didn't need to. You see, the other churches needed to repent. Smyrna didn't need to repent, because it was doing what God, Jesus Christ, had given it to do. The other church there, we're talking about the other church here is Philadelphia. He says, I know your deeds. Behold, I put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Remember what Paul said? The people would have a form of godliness, but not according to Christ. We read that in 2 Timothy 3:5. And down in verse 7 of that same chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, these people always keep learning, but never ever coming to the knowledge of the truth. And look at what Jesus Christ goes on and say to this church here in Philadelphia. It says, behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan. Now, this synagogue of Satan is the system of chaos and confusion of false religions called Babylon, which is devised from the mind of Satan. And this is what he says, who says that they are Jews and are not. Now, these people claim to be and know to claim to know Jesus and walk after him. But here, Jesus Christ is saying they're liars. Okay? And he says, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. He's talking about those who are holding on. These are the Philadelphians. This is the Philadelphian church, and they were holding on. Look what he says about them. Because you have kept the word of my preservance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing. Sisters and brothers, we're all going to be tested. And we're tested every day in some way. And you know what the scriptures say, that we're tested to prove our faith, you see. So these things are good for us when we get these tests. And they show your faithfulness to Jesus Christ, whether you will hold on to him or you'll turn away in fear. Look what he says right here. He says, hold fast, okay? Let me go back up here. He says, also, I will keep you from the hour of testing, and the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. We're going to all face this test. He says, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one will take your crown. He's talking about these false teachers who are seducing the people who fall away from the simplicity of Christ and start to look at other ways to enter the kingdom of God other than the way and the direction that Jesus Christ gave us. See, he says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You see, these are the ones that Jesus Christ is speaking very highly of. These are the ones says, well, he's talking about saying, well done, you good and faithful servants. But look at here. What is this word of my preservance that Jesus Christ was talking about? Now, let's look at it. It's a Strong's G5281. And it means, the definition is the characteristics of a man who is not swayed from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trial and suffering, even to death. Sisters and brothers, we have to hold on. This word comes from a root word, and it's Strong's G5278, and it means to remain, to tarry behind, to remain, abide, to not recede or flee, to preserve under misfortune and trial, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ, to endure, bear bravely and calmly ill treatment. Sisters and brothers, we're going to be treated just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says there in Matthew 10:24, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you as well. He says that in John 15:10 as well. He's talking about the people of the world that are going to be coming against the people of God because they hold to the testimony of Jesus and keep the commandments of God. You see, that's what the deal is. Sisters and brothers, we can't afford to lose out on what God has in store for his people who keep his commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. You know, God has secured it for us. He secured it in his son. He wants us to have it. He offered it to Adam right there in the beginning. He told him to eat of the tree of life freely. You see, but Satan, the cunning deceiver, came in and deceived Eve. And here we are today, scuffling. You see, under the penalty of death and sickness and all of that because Adam failed in his mission to subdue the world and teach it God's way of life. Look what it says right here in John 3:16. We were going to talk about this today. And this is what these two churches held on to. And this is the testimony of Jesus. Not only did they keep the commandments of God, but they kept the testimony of Jesus. Look at what John says right here in John 3:16-19. For God so loved the world. Now, God guaranteed that we should have life, and he did it through his son. Look what he says right here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the one of a kind, wasn't no more like Jesus, you see, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Sisters and brothers, if we keep our eyes on Jesus and we follow and walk in the steps that he trod, we will make it into the kingdom of God and inherit the promise that God has made to all of those who obey him and keep his commandments. And this is what Jesus Christ is testifying to. And listen to what he says right here, because he has not been, starting right here, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This judgment is the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as wrought in God. That's what we need to have right there, sisters and brothers. Let's see what this testimony of Jesus Christ is all about, so we'll know where we're going here and what we have to repent of. And just like the churches that we just read about, it, they were in deep need of repentance. 71% of the people of God today need to repent. And Jesus Christ is telling us why right here. Let's look at his testimony. Turn to Matthew 7, verses 21. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." You see, it is the will of the Father that Jesus Christ is talking about, that we have to be pleasing. It's the will of the Father. Says, look what he says, "And many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them." Now this is heavy. Now this is really heavy. Now I want you to let these words sink into your ears. He said, look at what he says right here. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Oh, you don't want that word. You don't want to hear those words coming out of the mouth of Jesus when you're standing before him in judgment. You don't want to hear that. You see, these people claim to have done all kinds of things in the name of Jesus, calling on the name of Jesus. But look at what he says. "Be gone to me, I know you not." Oh, I don't want to hear it, and I don't want you to hear it. So listen, let me explain to you what lawlessness is, so you'll know what the deal is here, what Jesus Christ is talking about. Look at Strong's G458, the condition of without law. That's what it means. That's what it means. Lawlessness means transgressing the laws of God, either out of ignorance or willful violation of it, out of contempt and out of iniquity and wickedness toward God. See, that's what that's this word lawlessness is. You see, and look what Jesus Christ says about this. You know, lawlessness. And people say that the law of God is no longer credible today for the Christian community. But look what Jesus says. "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I came not to abolish, but to fulfill." Listen to what he says. "I came to fulfill." He fulfilled everything was written in the writings of the prophets and the scriptures about him, that he was the coming Messiah, that through him all nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's what he was talking about. He fulfilled all the prophecies about the coming Messiah. He was it. He was the real deal standing before them. You see, and they didn't recognize him. The Jews didn't recognize him. But take a look what he goes on to say here. "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished." And see, Jesus Christ was prophesied to die. Read back there in Isaiah 53, where he was prophesied to die, and his broken and beaten body would be for our healing, and the blood would wash away our sins. Read it for yourselves back there in Isaiah 52 and 53. And he goes on to say right here in verse 19 of Matthew 5, "Who then annuls one of the least of the commandments and teach others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." How about that? That's what you want to hear. You want to hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." But you can't do that. You won't hear that if you are like what Jesus Christ is saying here. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" That's awesome there. You don't want those words said either, you see. And look at what he says here in Mark 7, and starting in verse 6. He starts right here, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This is what I'm saying. He fulfilled the scripture. See, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men, neglecting the commandments of God. You hold to the traditions of men. And he was saying this. When he says, you are experts at this, setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your traditions. How about that, sisters and brothers? Jesus Christ is telling us right there, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. Sisters and brothers, are you sure what you're practicing in your religion, in your faith, in your walk toward God is wrought in God? Are you sure? You best be checking out Jesus Christ and seeing what he's saying here, and listen for yourself. Check it out for yourself. Don't listen to what these men say, you see, because you'll be led astray. And this is what the scriptures have proven. And this is what Jesus Christ said happened to the churches that were 71% of who were deceived at his coming. You see, that's what he said. They had been seduced. But listen to what Jesus Christ goes on to say here in John 15, verses 1 through 2. He said, I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. You see, the Father dresses Jesus. He's the one who gives Jesus instructions and tells Jesus what to do. You see, he said, I don't do anything that the Father don't tell me to do. He said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And that's why James and Peter talk about, don't be surprised at the fire trials that come upon you for the testing of your faith, to see where you're at. Are you going to hold fast, you see? Or are you going to retreat or flee or recede or flee? Listen to what the Father, how the Father is glorified. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Sisters and brothers, if you call Jesus Lord, and he's your master, and he kept the commandments of God, don't you think you ought to get with the program and start obeying the Father as well? You see, this is heavy information. You need to pay attention to it. And look at what he says right here. Remember the words that I say. This is verse 20 of John 15, right? He says, remember the words that I said to you. A slave is not greater than his master. You see, he was talking about that, what he told them before he sent them out over there in Matthew 10, 24, and 25. Look what he said right here. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. See, it is enough for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher, and the slave like his master. Yes, if we call Jesus Christ Lord and he's our master, we better get to taking on his divine nature and his character and walking in the laws of God like he walked in the laws of God, or else we will be worshiping him in vain. Sisters and brothers, I know my time is about up right now, but listen, if you are interested in what I'm saying here and you would like to have a copy of these messages, you can call me at 770-894-9829, or you can send me an email, you see, or at BRA, the truth will set you free, at gmail.com. That email address again is BRA.thetruthwillsetyoufree@gmail.com. And listen, before I get out of here, I just want to make one more statement right here about the light. Jesus Christ is the light, you see, and he came into the world, and he was the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And sisters and brothers, if you don't want to be part of this 71% that's deceived and want to be a part of this 29% that is holding on to the testimony of Jesus, then you need to turn on the light, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come out of darkness unless you got some light, and Jesus Christ is that light.
You've been listening to The Truth Will Set You Free, sponsored by the Biblical Research Association, with ambassador and recruiter for the Kingdom of God, Lemmy B. McGarrity. Tune in again next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for The Truth Will Set You Free on Heaven 1120 a.m. and 104.5 FM.